part of a winning team that's making a difference in your community at Arthrex. From creating thousands of new jobs and significant campus expansions to fostering educational partnerships and philanthropic contributions, Arthrex is proud to be growing and investing in Anderson County. Experience an exciting career with a company that's dedicated to healthcare technology innovation and making people's lives better. Check out available jobs at careers.arthrex.com. No manufacturing experience required.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
Hour number two, Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Let's go to the phones. Jerry and Anderson had to drop. He was patiently waiting, and he joins us right now. You can get in on the phone, 654-ROAR, if you'd like, in this hour.
Hey, Ron,
what's up, Jerry? Good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm good. You know, on the game Saturday, you know, I had a lot of questions going in. I made a prediction, but I didn't really believe it. Again, I thought this was going to win the football game, but the questions that I had was on the offense, was on the play calling. And I kind of like Ben, I think he kind of said this, if I understood it. I didn't see anything different than what I saw last year. Started off well in the SMU game, played well in the Tennessee game, but it's kind of still the same thing, is the questions about the play calling. The offensive line, again, give LSU credit. Their speed really created havoc for the offensive line. And, again, I listened to Coach Winnie today. There were some things that were missed. But also, when you don't – you've got to run the football more than what you did in the second half. I mean, just to make them think about it, whether they believe we could run or not, I still think that we needed to stay with it a little longer. And I'd like to see Gideon play a little more. I'd like to see him carry the football. Yes, he missed a block, but again, we don't take everybody out that makes a mistake. And again, I thought the defense played well as much as they were on the field. I thought a couple of times they took the wrong angles and they got themselves out of position where they could have made a tackle. They go inside and should have had outside containment. But that's just my viewpoints. Not giving up on the season. Hopefully we win this week against Troy. And we've got a big game against Georgia Tech. They're going to challenge a lot of scrimmage against us on both sides. So not looking past Troy, but again, that's going to be a big test for this team. You know, that's the next big game. It's on the road. So I'll hang up and listen, Walt. Take care.
Thanks very much, Jerry. Appreciate the phone call.
There's no doubt the defense was better. I did want to say that. I mean, they're better than last year. No doubt. I thought the linebackers, if there was one position group that I thought maybe lived up to the hype, probably the linebackers. I mean, I thought Woodaz and Brown were very, very good.
I heard a lot of people talking about Woodaz tackling, and I want to be like, those are people who are mad at the first play still.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think he had issues tackling the rest of the game.
Well, one thing about linebackers is you're usually going straight at the most elusive player on the field. You're going to miss some tackles, and that first one was unfortunate. I mean, it went from a 1 yard loss to a 25 yard gain or 24 yard gain, whatever it was. I mean, that's a big play. I get it, but you're not going to get 100% of those. Overall, I thought they played well, overall, I think the defense played well, but there's still a lot that they can improve on. I mean, a lot they can improve on. I don't know what to make of the lack of pressure on Nussmeier. Could be that the LSU offensive line is better than we thought, but when LSU people are saying they're not very good, then it makes you wonder,
I don't think so. I think I said I only had one conviction about the game. This is my second one. This is my second conviction. You could call it out coaching. You can call it whatever you want. To me, the difference in the game, the primary difference in the game, is not that LSU had strengths where they thought they had weaknesses and Clemson had weaknesses where they thought they had strengths, even though that's what ended up manifesting itself. The actual difference, as I see it, is that I think Clemson was surprised that there were things that they could not do either at all or easily. And they didn't really have answers for that.
Yeah.
I think they were surprised that receivers didn't catch the ball. I think they were surprised that Kay didn't make certain reads. I think they were surprised he couldn't pick up some pressures. I think they were surprised they didn't run the ball as well as they wanted to do. I just think they were surprised, and it seemed like they didn't really have counters for that. I think LSU knew they couldn't protect. So, like, I've seen people say, well, LSU found a way to protect their quarterback, and Clemson can protect. You know what LSU's protection was? We're going to throw it over here really fast. Like, Garrett Nussmeier had 28 completions, and I bet in double figure, I bet half of those completions were get the ball, and at most were three-step drop, and we're getting the ball out.
There were a lot of those, but he also had time in the pocket.
He did too. I'm not saying he did. I'm saying I thought LSU's game plan was a game plan that said we don't think we can protect them, or we're not sure, so we're not even going to try. You know,
I can agree with that.
Because I agree with what you're saying. Like, it wasn't just – I don't want to make it sound – I think I just did make it sound like that, so let me rephrase. Thank you for saying that. That it wasn't just throw it over here. But I think there was enough of that built in that made you think LSU's not even trying to protect him, really. Not at the base of the base of their game plan was, let's get the ball out quickly and see if our guys can't, you know, make some yards on first and 10 and open up the playbook a little bit. They also, early in the game, used a lot of motion and misdirection to set things up. And I just, I told somebody this today, and Steve, we're coming to you. I told somebody this today. I saw what Joe Sloan was doing. First series of the game. Second play, I think. Jaheim Lawson, or maybe it was the first down. Jaheim Lawson comes in, tackle for loss. And there were about two or three times where they tried to run a stretch or they tried to run something wide, and Clemson on the backside is getting defenders flowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, defenders are out there. So what do the next series? They run cutbacks. They run slow-developing plays. They let Clemson over-pursue on the backside, and they cut back. And they get a few yards.
They were very good at that. Very good at the cutback stuff.
You could see LSU's offensive game plan. You could see what they did. They were very good at, okay, this is how Clemson's triggering to this. We're going to do this other thing. And because their players executed, it worked. I think it is hard. I don't think it is hard to be incredibly critical of Garrett Riley when there are 29 consecutive plays from the second play of the third quarter to the end of the game where there is not one single time where a running back carries the football. Especially, Mike, go ahead and put us in a nerd alert, because this is going deep in the stats in a way that you need to be able to show that Clemson actually ran the ball fine in this game and they just gave up on it.
Nerd alert!
Whoa, wait a second, Doc. You mean to tell me that this is a nerd alert?
That's right, Marty. We've entered a nerd alert.
So I love this in the stats program, brought to you by Grass Nerds, by the way. If you just look at the numbers, LSU rushed for, what did they average? They averaged 3.5 yards a carry. Clemson averaged 1.6 yards a carry. When you take sacks away, LSU averaged 4, Clemson averaged 2.9. Here's a different way of looking at it, okay? There are some advanced stats that are available to us in the stat program that we get access to, which is phenomenal. Here are some things that I just want to point out, okay? Rushing success rate. You know what? I'll do offensive success rate. This is there's a formula for it, but basically, did you get enough yards given the down and distance? Did you give enough yards? LSU was at 34% offensive success rate. Clemson was 28%. That is going to surprise no one, okay? 34% to 28%. Rushing success rate, LSU 33%, basically in line with what they did the whole game. Clemson, 50% rushing success rate. Clemson had no big plays on the ground, but they got enough yards. They're with the chains or ahead of the chains. They're moving the chains. They got a touchdown on a two-yard gain. These are all successful runs. They're not big runs, but they're successful runs. Literally half the time, Clemson got enough that in a formula that works, and it's different for first and 10 and second down and third down, how much of the yards you have to get, 50% of the time when Clemson ran it, they were successful. runs stuffed. LSU was stuffed 9 times. That's 29%. Clemson was stuffed 5 times. That's 25%. LSU was literally stuffed a higher percentage of their runs than Clemson. They just ran it more. Power runs, where they're just going to line up and bully in short yardage. Clemson 1-for-1. LSU 1-for-5. Clemson stopped them 4 times in these power situations. Third and short, LSU 2-for-3, Clemson 2-for-4. It's not like Clemson was 1-for-6 on third and short because they couldn't get a yard. This is what you're mad at the coordinator for, is that there were numbers inside the numbers that tell you that Clemson is doing what it needs to do. Again, the longest run was 7 yards. They were not taking the top off. It was not sexy at all. But to say that Clemson was unable to run it when they did run it, and that's why they stopped, is wrong. That's just flatly wrong. And when you go 29 consecutive snaps without giving the ball to the running back in a game where you were ahead or tied, you were not down by 21. That's just not acceptable.
That does add to my frustration, but from a play-calling standpoint on the offensive side, my frustration primarily is this, that when your quarterback is struggling, there's two things you can do. You can throw quick screens. You can throw hitch routes. Those are two things Clemson did a lot of. If you look back at Clemson's identity as a passing offense last year, those were two staples. You get in this game where your quarterback really needed that, and you didn't do very much of that at all. I mean, at all. Meanwhile, LSU on the other sideline realizes they were struggling to run the ball, and Clemson was starting to get in the backfield a little bit, and what do? They run wide receiver screens. And that eases the pressure, and that helped Manus Meyer with that. I mean, that became their running game. And that's what frustrates me, is that I saw it in the game. It just wasn't on the Clemson sideline.
That's 100% right. Let's go to Steve in Greenville, who's up with us next. What's up, Steve?
Hey, William. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for getting in.
Hey, I just want to talk about the calling on catches and taking the ball all the way to the ground. I mean, as far as the Clemson game and the South Carolina game, Kirk Herbstreit, the Matt Austin, the expert, and the other announcers were all like, thought both of those were catches. I listened to Dabo's show. He didn't think it was a catch, which is not surprising. But that's not the question. I just don't understand why they don't change the rule to, or back to, I think at one point it was, if you run the football, once the ball touches the goal line, it's a touchdown. You don't have to maintain control 3 yards into the end zone without fumbling the ball. Like LSU had a play like that in the Clemson game. They scored, it went over the goal line, and then he fumbled the ball. But it's a touchdown because it touched the goal line. I think the rule should just be changed where when you have a foot inbounds, if you have control of the ball, when you have a foot down, it's a touchdown, just like on a run and play when it crosses the goal line. It shouldn't be you have to maintain control 3 steps out of bounds and jump over some pylon or fall over some pylon they've got out there and maintain control after that for it to be a touchdown. I mean, it's just nuts.
Steve, listen, I'm with you on this. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I agree with that. What Dabo said, like, we had a couple texts that are like, does Dabo really think that catch, the Berrion Brown catch, is not a catch? He's right. Like, by the rule, he's right that you have to complete the catch through the ground. Now, my stance, and I said this on Twitter, my stance, and even the South Carolina game, you could say this. Why do we have a different requirement for falling players as opposed to upright players? Because if the guy doesn't fall, if he makes the catch, he did what he's supposed to do. He caught the ball. He got a foot in. He kicked the pylon. He made a football move. If he just stands on his own 2 feet and spikes the ball, it's a touchdown. But because he fell down, we have a different level of expectation for that player that he's going to survive the catch. I don't think that's logical. I don't think that's right that if you're upright, you could spike the ball right at the end and get a touchdown. But if you fall, even if the play takes longer and you actually held the ball for longer than that, it's an incomplete pass. And I thought in both of those instances, the rule is written away where they're interpreted correctly, but I think common sense would say it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I agree with everything you said and with Steve too. But to reemphasize your point, I felt like they called it correctly. Whether we agree, and I don't agree with it. I agree with what you're saying. I think the burden for that to be a catch is way too high. It's way too high. I mean, that's both of those were clearly catches, but that's not what the rule is. And you know, that's a great point. You know, if he doesn't go to the ground, and then he just drops the ball, it's a catch.
And he actually would have held the ball for longer falling. Yeah.
But
than if he dropped
only because he touched the ground that is ruled an incomplete pass. So there's a difference between agreeing with the rule and whether or not they got it right. I don't agree with the rule, but they did get it right.
That's right, which really sucks. I hate that. That's what we've argued with targeting forever. It's like we understand why you called it that, but why do you have to call it that? Those are the frustrating things. The frustrating things there. A lot of texts coming in. We'll get to some of those as well. 654 Roar is the number. We continue on hour two. You want to get on the phones, you can. Stay with us. More Out of Bounds on a Tiger Tuesday when we return.
I'm having such a great time tailgating, but now's the moment to go.
Go where? The game's an hour away.
I need the porta potty.
Thankfully, that's never a problem at Death Valley. Unless the lines are too long.
Little John Portable Toilets have been serving Clemson football games for over 25 years. Their toilets are orange, which gets fans fired up for the game, and they are super clean. They even have restroom trailers. Whether construction or special events, Little John is the go-to. LittleJohnToilets.com. That's LittleJohnToilets.com.
At Ben Mason Insurance, we don't just provide insurance, we offer peace of mind to our upstate community. Whether it's auto insurance, home insurance, or life insurance, we're dedicated to safeguarding what matters most. Located at 188 Blaylock Road, Boiling Springs, we're here and ready to serve you. Call us today, 864-578-7100, and let us tailor a policy that fits your needs. Ben Mason Insurance, your trusted partner in protection.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things? Or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at blockhaven.com.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper,
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News,
and Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories,
just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Ariat delivers the best in men's Western apparel for the job site, the rodeo, and date night. Ariat offers a wide selection of patterns and styles, from plaids and checks to embroidered prints. Color-rich solids, Ariat's performance shirts are tailored with advanced movement features. From fabrics designed with cooling comfort and sun protection technology, from retro to classic, new west to old, whatever your style, Ariat has you covered. Shop Ariat at Harrison's in Malden and Spartanburg or harrisonsusa.com. Harrison's, the home of work, Western, and wow!
Injured in a wreck and now the insurance company's ghosting you? Classic move. They're quick to collect premiums, but when you need help, disappeared. I'm Trey Mills with the Trammell & Mills Law Firm. We don't chase, we confront. You call us and we bring the pressure, loud and legal. What's up, QB? We're about to ring your bell. We may talk a little trash, but we back it up with action. Call 864-485-8585 or visit TrammellandMills.com. Trammell & Mills, we don't do quiet.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them. they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
High school football is in full swing, and our new marketing partners with Whataburger are all in this season, sponsoring high school football every Friday night right here on The Roar. We're taking Facts on Sports on the road this week with a live show at the new Whataburger location in Anderson at 2900 North Main Street. Join me and John Height as we preview the Troy at Clemson game and talk all things football across the spectrum. That's Facts on Sports live in Anderson this Thursday, September 4th, 9 till noon.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get 2 unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 in monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the 5 counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
High school football, college football, and the NFL. We're broadcasting games at all 3 levels and breaking it all down. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Hour number 2 continues. Out of Bounds. William Foggenbush, Ben Milstead with you. I don't know why I never thought about that, the catch thing about the ground. Like, it's always bothered me that you can catch it and take a bunch of stand, and then you go to the ground and it jostles a little bit, and you didn't complete the catch to the ground. But I never actually thought about what if they don't ever fall.
Why do you we have can a do whatever standard? You want to do. Just, by gosh, don't touch the ground, even if it's 4 steps later.
And I'm thinking about, like, should you not just cross the goal line and then just hot potato the ball? Just in case you slip down and jostle the ball. I mean, like, cross the goal line and just hot potato it, you know.
It's a fair point.
I know we don't want to, you know, we don't want to drop the ball before the goal line, but, I mean, based on the way the rule's written, that would be a catch, and you don't have to complete the catch to the back of the end zone, but if you fall in the front of the end zone, you have to complete the catch. Let's go to the phones. Jason in Columbia joins us next. What's up, Jason?
Quad, I can't believe you just referenced dropping the ball before he crossed the goal line. Ray Ray McLeod versus Troy in 2016.
Who sure was. I just thought about that, Jason.
Well, he's talking about dropping after the goal line, not before.
That's true. That's a good point. That's true. Yeah, we need some levity today. Look, man, it's like, I'm kind of with you, Quad. Like, I came away from the game with some strong opinions at first, obviously. I told you, I watch games like Brian Kelly, purple-faced, and a lot of F-bombs. And, you know, but after you start seeing some of these clips, like you referenced Orlovsky and some of Aaron Murray's talking about it, and, you know, Larry Williams did a great job on Tiger Illustrated looking at some of these things, and it's like there were plays to be made. And I'm of the opinion, like Dabo said, I thought, you know, the offensive line was not good. the wide receivers were not good making contested plays. Maybe they were frustrated because they were so frequently not come to when they were wide open. And the coaches, I mean, it wasn't their finest day, but it really comes down so much of this game to quarterback. And, you know, we saw it when we had ultra studs like Deshaun and Trevor. It's just a different ball game when you've got somebody like that. I have to tip my cap to Nussmeier. Like you said, he showed kind of what it looks like when a Heisman hopeful is in the midst of a tough game. He's not having his best game by any means. And I agree with Faxon. I think teams across their schedule will be hard-pressed to hold LSU to 17 points. You know, regardless if they get a controversial call here or there in the corner of the end zone. But it was so disappointing. I talked to you guys in the preseason and said I was so impressed by Cade's interviews that he seemed like a grounded, just team leader. And I sensed a maturity in watching that, but that did not translate. My God, that last third down and fourth down sequence. Tyler Brown's got to be wondering, how did I not score a touchdown twice? I mean, third down and fourth down, if Cade just does what needs to be done on those plays. But, you know, you guys referenced it. Death Valley. We've lost our last three games to D1 opponent or Power 5 opponents at Death Valley now. And I just feel big picture. Quark, I know you love a good Game of Thrones reference, and Ben will hate it. But you remember when Tywin said, if we allow this to happen, we are no longer a house to be feared. And I just feel like there's something going on with Clemson football. And maybe there are no super teams left across college football in this era. But I just feel like we are no longer a program that anybody fears, whether they're coming into our stadium or whether we're going on the road. And to me, that's very concerning. And whether it's fair or not, a lot of that is traced back to the most important position on the field, quarterback. And until we fix that, I think there is a hard ceiling on what we can accomplish. Do you think that's a fair observation?
Yeah, I do. Jason, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I mean, I think that's fair. Now, you know, we know the fans that are going to talk about Dabo's SEC record. Let me say I don't think that's fair, because I think if Clemson played half the SEC this week, they'd probably win the game. But the reality is this. When you're playing national championships, I mean, think about the games that Clemson had to pull out, like, at the very end. In 2014, when Clemson was building that, remember the goal line stand against Louisville? Like, they're not blowing every – you know, they were winning a lot of home games, but they just blow everybody out. They didn't just show up and just run roughshod over people. They had to win the last play. 2015, Notre Dame and the Hurricane. Notre Dame's going to win. 2016, Louisville. Louisville's going to win. 2016, NC State. We remember that one where God blew the field goal wide and Marcus Edmund made the kick? I mean, or made the pick. I mean, like, you're just winning the last plays, or the other team's just losing the last plays. It's a combination of preparation to meet the moment and a little bit of good fortune along the way. I was talking about this earlier. Like, Clemson's never been great in September under Dabo. 2015, they almost lose to Troy. Troy's a six-point game at the end. Was that 15 or 16? Yeah, it was 15. 2015, they almost lose to Louisville. Remember that? The Thursday night on the road where Jadar Johnson's got to make the pick. Louisville's in plus territory in a three-point game. 2016, they almost lose at Auburn. That was not a thing of beauty, but they made the biggest plays in the game. 2018, they almost lose at College Station. And then the Syracuse. Oh, by the way, the Syracuse game. Clemson, even their best teams have not been great in September. So some of this is like we can do a little retconning and say, you know, Clemson used to destroy these opponents in these openers, and that's not really the case. Clemson has played to its competition a lot in these openers.
Yeah, but the difference in right now is you just said almost lost. See, they on all those games. I'm okay with close games. I mean, you're right about that. You look across the nation this past weekend, there were a lot of games that were probably closer than they should have been. Certainly lower scoring than they should have been in a lot of cases, but the elite teams won anyway.
That's where I agree with you. That's where I think, to Jason's point, I'm not going to say feared, but there had to be some hesitation from people in the biggest moments playing in Memorial Stadium. There had to be some hesitation from Notre Dame. There had to be some hesitation from Louisville. Like, there had to be some hesitation because Clemson had a history of making all of the plays.
Well, I will say this, and I'm going to give Mark whatever tape you have, because I'm going to give the SEC credit here. A school like LSU is much more used to playing in an environment like Death Valley here than, say, a Louisville who comes in. A lot of ACC schools, when they come to, I mean, like it or not, with the exception of maybe Florida State, when they come to Death Valley, this is the biggest environment they've played in. LSU plays in a lot of these games. They play at the Swamp and then, you know, at Alabama and Auburn, and they play in a lot of big environments, so they're probably not going to be impacted by that as much as a school who never plays in 80,000 plus.
I'm going to use some caveats here, but to the point about just being, if somebody loses big games, an old school will come right to you. I think it's fair to suggest that in a vacuum, some of the losses that Clemson has had in the last 5 years, and I'm using five because I'm not counting 2020, some of the losses that Clemson has had in the last 5 years are fine. The Georgia loss in 21 is fine, even though it was lousy. The Georgia loss last year is fine. There are losses that are not fine. Getting boat raced by Duke on the road in the opener is not fine. The Miami and NC State losses a couple years ago, not fine. There are some not fine. The Louisville game last year at home, there are some not fine losses. The last time that Clemson went toe-to-toe with an elite team and won the game is 2019. You could argue Notre Dame during COVID. I think COVID's stupid, so I don't even count anything that happened in COVID. I mean, as a program, the last time you were in a critical spot where the crowd's on edge and everybody's waiting to see what happens is to come from behind win in the semifinal game against Ohio State in 2019. And I don't think Clemson has to win all of these, but I think they need to win some.
Now, Coach Sweeney thinks he went toe-to-toe Saturday. Do you agree with that?
I think, you know what? No but. No but. They did have the ball in the red zone.
Yeah.
Like they're right there. If Cade Klubnik sees the wide-open guy that's right over the top of the third blitzer, it's a tie game, or maybe they go – I don't think they're going to go for two. I think we're playing overtime. And then we're talking about how Clemson made the critical plays. We're literally having the conversation we had about the Auburn game in 2016 about this game right now. And a ton of things to clean up and a ton of things to fix and a ton of things went wrong, and they found a way to win anyway. That's why it's hard for me to have absolutes coming out of this game. No, I don't. I think Clemson's offensive line got whipped. I think schematically Clemson lost both battles in some ways. I don't think they lost to LSU's offense. I think LSU had a great game plan, and I think Tom Allen's defense was good enough to win the game. So I don't want to make it seem like I thought Tom Allen had a bad game plan. I will say before we go to old school, and I've been sort of hanging on to this because I do think most of the criticism needs to be on offense. Just the way that you have talked about and many have talked about, that there's a different standard for Cade Klubnik. There's a different standard for Peter Woods and T.J. Parker. Like, we're not going to talk about Peter Woods the same way we talk about Stephylin Green. We're just not. We're going to give Peter Woods more benefit of the doubt. There's more expectation on that. When the defense is giving up 17 and the offense is struggling, you know what I don't want to see? And, if there's one thing that you should very softly take, but I think it is a legitimate criticism, is that in a game like this, a thing that irks me about the defense is that LSU had at least one first down on each of its first nine possessions. Clemson did not get off the field on a three and out until possession 10, where LSU had a 7-point lead and was really just trying to make Clemson use timeouts or work the clock. And Clemson was held to a three and out or less four times. There were four possessions in the game where Clemson did not get a first down. LSU had one. At some point when Clemson's offense is trying to figure it out, they got the short field on the fumble. They got the short field. They also went – they got no yards and had to kick a long field goal, okay, on that. They went three and out that possession and ended up scoring 3 points. At some point, I think Clemson's defense needed to get off the field on a three and out, put the offense right back out there, maybe at the plus – you know, at midfield or their own 40, instead of having to start from your own 20 every time or worse. Which is what it felt like was happening. Now, I understand, like, I'm not blaming the defense. There's no blame here, the defense, for giving up 17 points and not being good enough. But I think there were ways that the defense could have helped the offense in the way they got off the field that I was a little disappointed in, I'll be honest. Let's go to Old School before we take our next break. What's up, Old School?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing great, man. Thanks for getting in.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, Quark, is that it wasn't complimentary. Defense didn't really help the offense out that much. I don't think they did anyway.
It was not complimentary football. The punting game was okay, but even special teams, like, you missed a field goal in there. I felt like the offense didn't really help the defense, and the defense only gave up 17, but they did not do, especially for a high-performing unit, they could have helped the offense in a couple situations, be in more advantageous field position.
Well, Quark, that's not – Clemson is not the real reason I called today, but I know you guys were really talking about Clemson, but you know how people love misery? And I'm just really having a good week because of Alabama's troubles. What do you think about Florida State and Alabama?
Nobody's having a worse day than Kalen DeBoer. Nobody in college football is having a worse day than Kalen DeBoer, I can tell you that. Now, the worst thing that can happen to Kalen DeBoer is he gets $70 million. So there's a limit to how bad that can be. But that was not to any elite standard whatsoever. That was not even close to an Alabama football team.
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks for the call, Old School. I was going to say, can you really have a bad day when you're one step closer to a $70 million payday?
You know, I feel worse about myself as a man, but I have a big fat check waiting on me.
I can get over that.
I think I'll be okay. Just buy yourself a nice big car, buy yourself a nice home, and drown your sorrows with that. Hey, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have more on this. I do have, you know, I said I had a strong take on Dabo's press conference, and I'm going to share that when we come back. 654-ROAR is the number. Hour number two continues right after this.
This Saturday, the Clemson Tigers take on the Troy Trojans in Death Valley, and the best coverage anywhere is right here on the Roar. It starts 6 hours before kickoff at 9:30 with the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Join Grace and Ashby and me for that. Then transition to 12:30 Tiger Tailgate Show. Facts and Childers and his crew will take you up to kickoff with Don Munson, Tim Beret, and Reggie Merriweather. And then Donald Clark and I will have all the analysis you need on the fifth quarter show. It's your home for wall-to-wall Clemson football game day coverage. It's a flagship station for Clemson athletics. We are the Roar.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Plumber, it's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
If you've been charged with a criminal offense, the legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around the baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turf grass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit seeducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Strong industries build strong communities. For over 35 years, Industrial Motor Service has kept the upstate's factories, farms, and utilities running, powering everything from clean water to packaged goods to everyday essentials. Trusted by the region's leading manufacturers, IMS repairs and replaces critical equipment. motors, pumps, and gearboxes of every size. Because when the industry thrives, our community thrives. IMS, keeping the upstate moving. Learn more at industrialmotorservice.com.
Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, the Carolina Legend can make your tailgate a winner. Get our crispy chicken, buttermilk biscuits, and all the fixings faster than you can say touchdown. Order your tailgate today. It's bow time.
At Toyota of Easley, now is the best time to get a closeout deal on the last remaining new 2024 Toyota Tacomas or get a new 2025 Toyota Tundra or Tacoma with financing rates as low as 1.99%. With Norris-built accessories, you can also have your truck customized your way. Any make or model handled by certified Toyota technicians. Call 864-855-2233. Visit toyotaofeasley.com or stop by for a test drive today on Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Experience exceptional service with Golf Cart Service, your trusted family-owned club car dealer for 55 years. We keep over 35 upstate golf courses running smoothly with our fully stocked mobile service truck. Whether you're purchasing new, used, or reconditioned carts, we offer flexible financing. Choose Club Car, proudly American-made since 1958, and avoid tariffs. Visit golfcartsc.com to explore our inventory, conveniently located at Highway 221 and Highway 295 in Spartanburg. Call us at 864-574-4616 today.
105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour two of the program continues. Out of bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead with you. We're going to have a couple people for Paul Journey join us in hour three. You still got time to get in the next couple of segments here. We're talking lots of Clemson, LSU. In fact, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Cree in Clemson, who joins us next. What's up, Cree?
Hey, I was actually calling in for what happened earlier in the week. I called in talking about how I almost got thrown out of the soccer game because I was telling Coach Noonan that he needed to shave. Ben should probably remember that. Well, I went to the game Friday, and I just kept looking at him and kept, like, rubbing my face like his beard looked good, but I didn't dare go and lean over the rail before I didn't get kicked out of the game.
Oh, sorry about that, Cree.
Sorry, Cree. That was an unfortunate slip. I appreciate that. Mike Noonan was salty. They won 6-0, and they're up 3-0 at half over UAB. And I asked him his thoughts, and he was like, sloppy, lethargic. Probably came out. I was like, okay, all right.
You know, his team has in the first two matches this year, sort of felt like they backed off in the second half, didn't play as well. And it was obvious Friday night he was making sure he was sending a message to his team that wasn't going to be – that wasn't going to happen anymore.
Oh, they scored two late goals.
Yeah. They were hammered down the whole match.
Let me tell you something. I talked to a former player on Friday night that said that there are open conversations being had about Ransford John being the best player in this era to put on the uniform.
Whew.
And that guy is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Height, you know, we always say pound for pound. Height for height, he might be.
I love that. Inch for inch.
Inch for inch.
Inch for inch, the best player. I never thought about that. Hey, you know, the theme of this show, and I really hate this, the theme of the show has been, I'm not sure what I'm looking at, okay? And one of the reasons is this. We were actually talking about this during the break. South Carolina, Virginia Tech, there were moments like Dylan Stewart's just ferocious, beating these tackles off the edge, and Sellers is a tank, and you throw the bomb down the seam to track star Nick Harbor, and you're just thinking, God, this team looks great. And then there are moments where you're like, oh, my Lord, like this is a four-win team. You felt that a lot more about Virginia Tech watching them. I don't think Virginia Tech's very good at all. And it just crystallized for me, like, it is really hard. Wait, there are lots of people. I'll put it to you like this, man. I love your thoughts on it. there's so many people that go, we should not do any preseason polls. No preseason polls. We don't even want to know what the teams are. And we've watched teams play one game, and we're like, well, they're going to the championship. They're not making a bowl. This team's not anything. And I'm thinking, there are teams that played the Weak Sisters this week that look awesome. Ole Miss looks awesome because they scored 28 in the fourth quarter and blew it up against whoever they played. I mean, like, it's hard to know. And so there are lots of folks saying this is who Clemson is when there are lots of teams, almost the entire country, that lost, that played significantly different games than Clemson did in terms of their level of competition, or teams that are up at the top of the country.
I mean, quickly on South Carolina, I don't know how good Virginia Tech is, but I do think they looked better than they did last year. You know, Drones looked competent at times, and he looked like the old guy at times. But I did feel like Virginia Tech was better. I mean, defensively, they were better than – I felt like, anyway, they were better than they were last year. South Carolina's opening drive, it was as impressive as any drive I saw all weekend long. Their opening drive just, like, straight down the field. It was like Virginia Tech was still in the locker room. And then, you know, then they have this lull in the middle of the game that was almost unexplainable. It was just like they just turned back into a pumpkin for a while. But then when it mattered, at the end of the game, they turned it back on. And listen, if Nick Harbor can catch the ball consistently, that dude's a problem. you can't coach that size, and you can't coach that speed. And he's an issue. Somebody is going to draft him much higher than we think he's going to be drafted because of those two things. You can't coach the speed and the height.
He's going to have way more starts than Anthony Richardson.
Well, you and I are only like two starts behind right now. So, I mean, that's true. He's just barely ahead of us. I thought that was a good win for South Carolina. And it's sort of ironic that a special teams play is what turned that game around. I don't know if it turned it around, but it
was nip and tuck. At that point, you're like, okay, South Carolina's going to win this game.
Right, but you know, you accept the penalty, make Virginia Tech kick it again, and it's really sweet irony that you do that against Virginia Tech that's known, you know, under Beamer and Beamer ball for special teams, and you beat them with special teams, really. You put the game away with special teams. I think people know what I'm saying.
That's right. By the way, I had somebody, when I asked that, which quarterback actually played well, somebody wrote me and said, Lenore Sellers looked like a Heisman winner during and after the game. So, like, giving the game ball to Frank Beamer was nice, but, like, that is not a Heisman moment, sir or madam. And unlike Clemson fans, like, y'all know what a Heisman winner looks like. Like, George Rogers won one. Like, you actually got one in the it's one of the few in the trophy case there. So you should know what that looks like. I looked at Lenore Sellers' game, and I thought, this was a really good performance. It was not like 380 yards and 5 touchdowns, and the guy was brilliant. Like, my point is, like, nobody really looked that good.
You're right.
Offensive, at the quarterback position this week, that played a legit opponent.
That played a legit opponent, okay, yeah. Because it's like John Mateer, for instance. John Mateer looked really good for Oklahoma.
How about the dude from Cal? Of course, I'm watching Cal Oregon State because I'm up.
Yeah.
How about the freaking 19-letter last name Cal quarterback that I'm, as God is my witness, I'll never learn how to say it. Let's talk about that. That dude can freaking play. Text from the 803 said, honestly, Castellanos, I think, had a Heisman quality game. You know, I thought he was fine. You look at the numbers.
Serviceable. Yeah.
Like, he was really good.
He made good decisions in that game.
That's it. It was decision-making that was good. And then the biggest moments, again, he made the plays. But, like, I think he counted for, like, 220 yards in the game. Let's go to Scott in Greenville, who's up with us next. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Qualk, I'm having to do this new hands-free thing in my truck. So, mate, I got you on speakerphone right now. I don't have it paired up. So, if it's a problem, just let me know.
You're good, man. We got you.
All right. Hey, you know, as a fan, I'm ready to – about what time is it? Almost 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, I'm about ready to turn the page on the Troy, and let's just put this behind us, and I'm going to move on. I am disappointed in a lot of things with Clemson. Looking at a lot of the games this weekend, hey, have you seen the meme going around with the toothless people pointing at the in the picture, and it says this is who showed up at Kalen DeBoer's house this morning or on Sunday, wanting him fired, and it's two people with no teeth in their head pointing at the screen like, you're out of here, buddy.
That's
Alabama
up,
people.
Man.
But who would have thought South Carolina won in, who would have thought South Carolina 1-0, Alabama, Texas, and Clemson 0-1?
Well, I mean, some of that is who you played. I mean, some of that is who you played. The Florida State played a good Alabama team that we're going to properly rate after this. And you know what?
Right.
South Carolina didn't play a nobody. I mean, Virginia Tech was in this game. It's going to be a long season for Virginia Tech, but they held up better than I thought for moments. But
well,
they're not LSU
they
or Ohio State.
They were better because of their wide receivers. My goodness, they were making some catches.
Now, that is true.
Virginia Tech, Drones was
throwing them open, and they were making plays. They made some of the best catches I saw this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, game of the weekend this week, is it South Florida and Florida? I saw where South Florida has opened up with Boise State, Florida, and then Miami, I think it is. Three top 25 teams to start their season, and they're 1-0. They beat the brakes off of Boise State. How do you think they're going to do against Florida?
I think they're going to lose to Florida. Appreciate the phone call, Scott. I think they're going to lose to Florida.
We're going to play that one in our contest this week, so we'll hit that later in the week.
Now, the spread is right now like 17.5. I don't know if they're covering that.
Yeah.
They might get inside that number.
That's why I put it in there.
Oh, look at you. Scott made an interesting point there. Scott said, I'm just about ready to put this one behind me and move on to Troy. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking nobody's moving on to Troy. I'm thinking we're going to be talking about this game after the Troy game. I'm thinking Troy is the kind of game that nobody's really going to take much from because the next real chance for people to put this behind them is Georgia Tech. Thoughts on that?
I think we're going to be talking about this game for a while. I mean, we talked about it all summer. So
Yeah.
I'm going to give it more than 2 hours here.
Oh, yeah.
On the back end.
100%. What's your thought on, and we'll talk about this more in hour three, too. It was very clear, one thing coming from Dabo's press conference, very clear that Dabo Swinney thinks that his team is no different than a lot of other teams that have yet to be exposed. And if you're a Clemson fan and you're looking for a reason for optimism, I'm not saying this is actually logically correct. I'm not saying I agree with all of that Dabo was saying. I think I would agree with him some in some areas, and I would disagree with him in other areas. But his point today, I mean, he was point blank asked, do you rethink playing these games? He said no. And he went on this long answer about getting the final exam on the first day of class. And he said, you know, they made a 65 and we made a 58, but now we know the questions on the test. And he actually, I thought, made a pretty compelling case that even if you lose this game, it's helpful because eventually everybody out there is going to have to go through what Clemson's going through right now.
It is a great point as long as you correct your wrong answers.
That's right.
And that's what I just need to see. Help me understand the tone of Dabo Swinney today, because I felt like he was more matter-of-fact and direct in response to questions than I can remember him in. I don't remember another time, honestly. Just little things like failure on our part as coaches, talking about that was his quote, talking about the run game. And, you know, he did talk a lot about, you know, one play kind of stuff, and it came down to the end. And that frustrates fans sometimes. But at the same time, he's not altogether wrong either. I mean, it did, in fact, come down to – now, you don't know what would have happened had Clemson scored, but I don't know. Sometimes I thought he was maybe sugarcoating the loss a little bit. Other times I thought he was just brutally honest. So I struggled with how to dissect.
Okay, I'm going to say this in 30 seconds, and then we'll break it down more on the other side. I think most people right now out there in Radio Land are broadly critical of offensive play calling, broadly critical of Cade Klubnik, broadly critical, or maybe particularly critical of offensive line play. I think Dabo is broadly critical of Cade Klubnik. Like, I think he was talking about how Cade made good plays. He didn't list one. I mean, he hadn't brought one up. Particularly critical of Garrett Riley. I don't think he blames Garrett Riley for the broad ineffectiveness of the offense. He blames him for not running the ball. And I think he particularly was critical of all the other pieces. We'll talk about that in more in Hour 3.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.